The second reading today tells us about the negative seeds that we cultivate within us. The seeds of selfishness, ambition, and jealousy, which leads to conflict and violence, and even worse, war. It sometimes starts innocently as, which of us is better than the other? Who is the best, the greatest, the next leader? The ambition bug has bitten, and we start jockeying for power and control. The disciples' squabbling clouded the important message Jesus was telling them about salvation and how it was to come about and their part in it. We all know that ambition, power, control, along with the need to be number one, if not held in check, can be a destroyer. Each can prime or whet an appetite that can never be satisfied. All we need do is watch modern-day politicians and business people, and you will see individuals doing all they can to get to the top of their profession. As they climb their ladder to success, they have no qualms about lying, bribing, or doing whatever it takes for them to grab the prize. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? A great deal of people who seek greatness regrettably suffer a serious focus problem. Those who want to get to the top of the mountain shift all their focus mainly on themselves. They center on their own needs, desires, and goals. And when they focus on others, it is how they can get the other people to look up to them, to get other people to add to their cause so that they can attain what they want in life. As a result, we should never be surprised that the sins of greed, materialism, ambition, and power are alive and well in the world, especially in the leadership of the various entities that control the many aspects of our lives. Jesus told his disciples that the way to be number one in his kingdom was to have your energies directed to the needs of others rather than to your own selfish needs. Centering on the needs of others for others' sake is becoming a totally foreign concept to our selfie culture. What Jesus wants is for his disciples and you and me to focus our attention outward instead of inward, assisting those outside the doors of the church rather than those who are inside the doors. In doing so, it is okay that the left hand is not aware of what the right hand is doing, because the focus and attention is not to bring gratuitous devotion to oneself. We can have conversations with and offer words of encouragement with those who most never take the time to notice, or with the children whom we feel should be seen and not heard. Whether we are young or old, we can serve one another and others. We can use our minds, our voices, and our spirits to serve one another. Next time you walk through a store, offer a sentence prayer to those you pass. Hope you're having a great day. Even a pleasant smile could be a nonverbal prayer. We all cannot teach, fix cars, paint walls, lay bricks, be healers and providers. But we can do something, be it great or small. We can ask God to help us focus on actions that we can do to serve one another. If we can accept that inside each of us exists our true selves that was made in the image of God Himself, and that none of us got to pick out the body we were given or the family we were born into, and didn't get to pick a cult, the culture we find ourselves being raised, then despite those lack of choices, we can choose to reach out across color, gender, race, and culture and accept one another without worrying about who is better or greater. In doing so, we are choosing the spiritual person who lives inside all these different bodies. And to that extent, we are equal. Yet Jesus embraced a small, young, unwashed street child to show us how our whole attitude should change and our world should change. By embracing this child, Jesus is explicitly telling us we should respect all people for the simple fact that they happen to be God's children. We should respect all people because they are His sheep, the lean and the fat ones. And especially because Jesus knows their names, as the Gospel in John chapter 10, verse 14 relates. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. That is His power, knowing their names. Jesus is not interested in their cars, in the quality of their clothes, in their degrees, in their prizes and awards, in their grades and insignias, in their functions and training and success. He knows their names. He knows them, and He wishes them well and all that they need. That is how each of us should behave, and that is why the world should change. Once we do, it will be how He will enable us to see the world as it should be. It would be a place and time for everybody. A world in which people will not only be with each other, but for each other.